The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? And because I am going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me? And again a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, we heard the words of the angel recorded by the Apostle John concerning a great multitude. He wrote, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The focus of that reading is the blessed state of the redeemed eternally in the presence of the Lamb, their shepherd. In the vision of the future revealed by St. John, the great tribulation is past and done. Not so for us today. The tribulation continues around us. We have known and will continue to know weeping and lamentation and sorrow. Tears and death, mourning and crying and pain remain a part of our ongoing experience. The words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in the upper room on the night when he was betrayed continue to have their application to us today. He told them, "A little while and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me." He was talking in the first place about his impending crucifixion and death. Less than 24 hours after he spoke these words, the world would rejoice. The mob that had shouted for his crucifixion would congratulate themselves that their voices had prevailed. The Jewish leaders would breathe a sigh of relief that their plot had succeeded. Their Jesus problem was ended. And the Roman soldiers remained in their barracks. The disciples and those who followed Jesus from Galilee would weep and lament. They had abandoned their Lord in his hour of need. And now he had been killed. Their hopes were dashed, and regret and sorrow and fear now ruled their hearts. That's how it would be for a little while, until Easter, when first the women and then the disciples would see their sorrow turn to joy as they heard the news and then saw their risen Lord and Savior. The movement from sorrow to joy, however, didn't end on the evening of that first day of the week, or even, to include Thomas, a week later. That pattern that Jesus laid out for his disciples is one his followers would continue to experience in the days and weeks and years to come. Sorrow would return with arrests and martyrdoms, hardships and struggles, temptation and falling into sin. To be sure, there is a sense in which the joy of Easter remained in their hearts and could not be taken from them. We hear of Stephen commending himself into the Lord's hands as he was being killed, and of martyrs who sang psalms and hymns as they faced death. They knew a joy that human reason couldn't fathom, along with a peace which passes all understanding. Nevertheless, that peace and joy didn't eliminate the inescapable and enduring experience of sorrow and tribulation. Jesus applies the experience of a woman giving birth to what the disciples would go through. When a woman is giving birth, he told them, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Elsewhere, Jesus had used the image of birth pains more broadly concerning tribulation in the world preceding his return in glory. St. Paul picked up on this and described the whole creation groaning together in the pains of childbirth as it awaits the last day. As we've gone through life, I'm sure each of us has known the sorrow of hopes dashed, of plans come to nothing, and of relationships disappointing. This results from the fall into sin, which so quickly brought Adam and Eve into conflict with one another. Suddenly, accusation and blame displaced the loving harmony God had created. Childbirth became painful, and work became a burden. But even more serious is the estrangement from God that resulted from that first sin. You know very intimately the bondage St. Paul described, of desiring to do what is right, but not having the ability to carry it out, of continuing to do the evil you do not want to do, rather than the good you want. And though you weep and lament and pray that the Lord would free you from the weaknesses of your flesh, nonetheless they continue to assault you. This is life under the cross. The struggle against sin with its all too frequent failures and falling. This, above all, is the source of the weeping and lament and sorrow Jesus told his disciples they would experience. But as tangible and immediate as they are, Jesus has more to say more to give, more to share. The joy and rejoicing Jesus promised come through the work of the Holy Spirit whom he promised, taking from what is Jesus and declaring it to you and to me. Part of that declaration is the truth about your sin and guilt. Uncomfortable as it is, it's necessary so that you experience the godly sorrow that causes you to hunger and thirst for a righteousness you know you cannot supply. This is the possession of Jesus that the Holy Spirit gives to you through what he speaks and declares. Last week we heard in the words of the great multitude standing before the throne and before the Lamb. John wrote that they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne." Salvation belongs to the Lamb. And today we've heard Jesus say, "The Holy Spirit will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Spirit brings glory to Jesus by taking salvation and declaring it to you. One of our hymns explains what goes on there very well. "Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness." The Spirit declares your salvation through the preaching of the cross, and in doing so is actually conveying to you in real time the holiness and righteousness of Jesus, your Savior. There in the upper room that night, the disciples couldn't yet bear the message of the cross. But when Jesus had risen, he breathed the Spirit into them and gave them peace and opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, to know the place that his suffering and death had in winning forgiveness and salvation for them and for all people. The Holy Spirit, working through the proclamation of the gospel, speaks the truth of forgiveness to you. In this speaking, he washes away your sin, removes your guilt, and gives you cause for rejoicing, even as you continue to feebly struggle against your own sinful desires and the temptations posed by Satan and the world. And so you can rejoice, for the Lord has redeemed you. He has called you by name. You are his. Rejoice, for as far as the east is from the west, so far has he has removed your sins from you. Rejoice, with the sins of the world, the Lamb of God has taken away also your sins. Rejoice, for as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man, your Savior, has been lifted up on a cross, so that trusting in him, you have eternal life. Rejoice, there is now no condemnation for you, for you are in Christ through holy baptism and faith. Rejoice, for even now Jesus is interceding for you at the right hand of God, and the Spirit himself is interceding for you with groanings too deep for words. Rejoice. No tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus your Lord. Rejoice. The day is coming when the dwelling place of God will be with you, and he will dwell with you, and you will be his people, and God himself will be with you as your God. In that day he will wipe every tear from your eyes, and there will be no death anymore. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for all of those former things will have passed away. For the Lord is making all things new. This is the truth, the word and accomplishment of Jesus. Things that belong to Jesus, which the Spirit declares to you for your salvation. Rejoice. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.